The following Dharma talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonnebaker at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan Osho is a Dharma holder and priest in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered freely. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
I have just a few things to say this afternoon. This is a short talk. I hope that for each one of you there's something helpful. A couple of weeks ago during the Ango Intensive, Shugen Roshi gave us some writing prompts, some art practice prompts, and one of them was to have some words with Yama. Yama is the Lord of Death, who I think only comes when it's time. Part of what I said to him was, wait, not yet. I like being alive. Said I will not worry anymore. I will not complain or criticize. I will not be dissatisfied. I will only trust and love, only appreciate. I found it a helpful exercise, helpful to reflect. How are we using our mind, our life, our lives, our energies? It can be an ongoing reflection, practice of reflecting, remembering. Death will come for me, as it comes for everyone. The when, the where, the how, I do not know. But death will come. I'm going to die. Those I love are going to die. I will be separated from all that I care about. So in this time that I have, I vow. I find that there is ongoing reflection, can be ongoing reflection. Maybe about the precepts, other vows that we've taken, these remembrances. And then sometimes we actually hear it. Sometimes we're ready to change, to make a vow and act on that vow. There have been times when I have experienced that and a vow has changed my life. And sometimes this reflection may be kind of about the big picture. How would you like to use your life? What would you like to do? And there's also the kind of more hard to see interior. How do I want to use my mind? Anyway, that's where our life is happening. So I said these things to Yama. Worry, complaint, criticizing, being dissatisfied, because I know them. Familiar energies that arise in my body, mind. I work with them. I have worked with them. I was remembering when I was first in residence, realizing that every time I sat down, I would sort of groan. Ugh. And that I was kind of going through my day doing things like that. And realizing I was creating something, that I was basically complaining throughout the day. And so I changed that. And I was 24 at the time. Now sometimes I sit down and I do kind of groan a little bit. But these energies that arise in my body-mind, my relationship with them has changed over time. They arise differently. In studying them, I know that they keep me separate, that they are obscurations, as we say, that they are habitual, that I'm creating something. They're negative. They are suffering. And so doing this exercise a couple weeks ago, having these words with Yama, I felt like maybe I'm ready to let something go here. I've been reading the Surangama Sutra, which is a Mahayana sutra, which I kind of just found. I think maybe there haven't been translations so available. And I'm also reading some commentary that goes along with it. And there's much more language about purifying the mind than I'm kind of used to. Purifying the mind of obscurations, kleshas, desires and aversions, reactivity, conflict, of suffering. Purifying the mind of what obscures the mind. Ultimately, there's nothing to purify, but there are all these things that prevent us from knowing that, from knowing our true mind. And also in the Surangama Sutra, to the extent that I understand it, I'm finding it difficult. There's a lot of the Buddha telling Ananda that things are illusion. The Buddha asks Ananda questions. Ananda is an excellent student, example of a student in the sutra. And Ananda responds to the Buddha as best he can with some seemingly very good answers, seemingly based in the teachings, in the Buddha's own teachings. And then over and over again, the Buddha points out, shows how, no, Ananda, basically that's everything you're saying is based on an assumption. Everything is an illusion. He goes through mind, all of our perceptions, organs of perception, over and over saying, no, that is an illusion. I was feeling earlier, it's kind of a mystery. It's kind of mysterious how this self arises, that comes into being, kind of coalesces around something. This mystery of all these things that arise in our experience that we react to, we get upset with, we want to possess. When we look closely, what is there? We can't find anything. There is nothing to find, no thing to find. And yet, we respond, we react, we get upset. What's happening? And you know, a lot of the time it doesn't seem like a mystery. We're just upset. There is just this barrier that we're struggling with. But with some space, some familiarity, some looking, what's happening? What's happening? Looking a little bit at complaining, being dissatisfied, and wondering, why do I like this? Why do I do this? I do like it in a way. A little kind of twisted up pain, pleasure. Certainly familiar. Maybe this is why, part of why samsara is so hard to kind of see our way out of. There's a lot of time that we may not see that we're suffering. because we seem like we're getting, seems like we're getting what we want, or we're just caught up in trying to get what we want. But that even when we have a sense that we're suffering, even when we know that we're suffering, it's hard to get out. It's hard to kind of change because we like it somehow. And I was thinking, I'm not sure how to say this, because in a way it is just that things, it's difficult to see that things are an illusion, to see that they are created and conditioned, our experience. And kind of the other side of that is that when our mind does clear and open, when we have some experience of letting go, of seeing more clearly, you know, often it comes like towards the end of Sesshin or somewhere in Sesshin, and it's like we had to do a lot of work to get there, to see that, to let go, just to let go, let things open. But kind of to not be fooled by that, it's not that we are creating something with all of that work, all of this work that we're doing. We're just practicing letting go, seeing and letting go, releasing, allowing our habitual, our familiar, our sometimes hard to see mind states, just letting them settle, loosen, allowing our natural mind to be less obscured, unobscured. And we trust that. I think we know that we're returning to ourselves, not making something. But it's important to see that. I was talking recently with a student who really struggles with difficult mind states, confusing mind states. And they were telling me that they had been here for a while. And when they went home for like an hour, it all cleared. It all cleared. And I asked them, well, what did you learn from that? And they said, they could see, they said that all of those things that are usually so confusing, I create them. It's important to see that. Yesterday when Shugan talked about how over time and just seeing things arise and pass away and getting to know ourselves and learning to work with ourselves and letting go, that then there's not so much surprise, which I understood to mean sort of not seeing new things in ourselves, new barriers, struggles. And I was just kind of thinking, like, is that true for me? And thing that, you know, where the surprise is how the same things still come up. Just last night, this morning, I was like, started to get caught up. And it's not a surprise in the sense that, no, I know this. I see what's happening. I know how to work with this. How to make space, loosen, how to find my seat again, return to myself. But I still get surprised that it happens. In our men's group last week, I think it was, we were talking about of insecurity and comparing and sort of feelings around that. And I was saying, you know, this is what I've worked with for my whole life. And that there have been times in my practice over the years where I felt like, yeah, now I think I'm done with that. I think I really like let it go. I finally kind of pulled it out by the roots because it had changed so much. I can't remember now, sort of in my body, mind, like how it was. But it keeps surprising me. It kind of slips in under the door. And so I don't say that anymore. That's what I was saying. This is not a perfect analogy, but I was thinking that it was kind of like those of you who knew Yukon, he used to like to hide behind doors and jump out and scare. I assume he did this to other people, but he certainly did it to me. And, you know, a lot of the time I would jump, right? But then it would just be Yukon there laughing and so pleased that he had scared me. A while back, Shugen Roshi in a talk said something about that we can think of Zazen as relaxing completely. I've been kind of carrying that around with me, wondering, kind of checking it out. I don't think I've ever heard him say that before. Zazen is relaxing completely. And so I've been kind of like, is that always true? Is this what it means to practice in accord with the Dharma? To practice no conflict, no opposition, relaxing completely. To practice not creating, relaxing completely. What is this relaxing? I've been trying this as I go through my day, walking to the office building, relaxing. When I'm chanting, relaxing. Working on this talk, relaxing. And in that feeling, finding the what is not relaxed, where is that tension? What is that? Finding what I think wants to be relaxed. It wants me to relax it. Help it to relax. Allow it to relax. But this not yet relaxed comes in different forms. Sometimes it's kind of apparent, obvious, like it's tightness or irritation. Or sometimes walking to the office, I'll realize, why am I in a hurry? Why am I moving so quickly? There's some tension there, relaxing, coming back into my body. And sometimes it's very different. Pretty much every time when I'm working on a talk, I get to a point where it feels like I've said this before, I always say the same thing, I can't say this to the Sangha. But really, it's this heaviness in my body. And I know this very well. Didn't actually get that much this week. But how do I relax that? Where's the grasping in that? There must be grasping somewhere in that mind state. I can feel the suffering. Where is the grasping, the creating? How am I creating conflict? Zazen is relaxing completely. Is that true for all forms of Zazen? If you're working with the breath, what is it to do your practice, to do your practice wholeheartedly and relax completely? If you're working with a koan, what would it be to do that practice wholeheartedly, relax completely. If you're doing shikantaza, Are you relaxing completely? Is that the not doing of shikantaza? This not, this relaxing completely reminded me of this passage from Daoxin, the fourth Zen ancestor, which I read a little while ago. He's asked a question. The question is, how can we illuminate and purify our minds? So he's being asked, what do I do in my meditation? Daoxin says, it is not by reciting the Buddha name, not by restricting mind, not by observing mind, not by calculating thought, not by contemplation, not by the practice of observation, not by scattering and confusion. Just let it roll along. Don't make it go, and don't let it stay. In solitude and peace, mind of itself is illuminated and pure. If we can observe it truly, mind is instantly illuminated and pure. Mind is like a clear mirror. If we can observe it truly for a year, it will be even more clear and pure. If for 3 years or 5 years, even more clear and pure. Just let it roll along. Don't make it go. Don't make it stay. Is this relaxing completely? What is he saying? I think we can hear, know, trust that when we have an idea of what our mind should be like in meditation, and we're trying to make our mind match that idea, it doesn't work. That's not the way to illuminate and purify the mind. When we're trying to control the mind, control our thoughts, it doesn't work. That's not the way to illuminate and purify the mind. In my experience, it is around concentration, ideas of what concentration should be like, that I get stuck, tight. This is where we can block things out, bypass, trying not to be disturbed by our thoughts and feelings, fighting with our thoughts and emotions, feelings, trying to make things quiet. We do need to learn to be concentrated, to concentrate, whatever our practice is. But it's not from controlling. What is it you're trying to control? Because our habits are body and mind, we experience them, body and mind, feel them in the body. The familiarity is in the body and the mind. Familiarity with our kleshas, our difficult mental states, our complaining, it's in the body, mind. That familiarity in the body, I think, is part of what makes it hard to see that it is just to see it for what it is. And so, something I've experimented with, that I work with, is bringing something different into my body-mind. In a way, I think this is true of all of the practices that we do. A practice is just of coming close, of being intimate, so that we experience that in our body-mind. What is that? How is that? Allow that to be familiar. Distraction may be familiar. We have to, like, how do we let that go and let that be not what we default to? But this is how I experience metta practices. To be able to offer someone peace, I have to feel peace in my own body mind, know peace in my own body mind. And I've found that kind of magical. To bring into my body love, acceptance, peace, loving attention. Allow that to permeate, become familiar for me, and so that then I can offer that, change my relationship by offering that. And I think this is true also in learning to relax body-mind, to get familiar with relaxed body-mind, relaxed and open and awake, allowing space for ourselves to be ourselves completely. Not trying to make anything, not trying to control. Daoxin says, mind of itself is illuminated and pure. If we can observe it truly, mind is instantly illuminated and pure. If we can observe it truly for a year, it will be even more clear and pure. If for 3 years or 5 years, even more clear and pure. Letting it sink in for a year, for 3 years, for 5 years. Becoming convinced. Mind of itself is illuminated and pure. We do not make it more pure. I wanted to end with a story about Dongshan, one of our important ancestors. The story is that the gods wanted to see Dongshan, but they couldn't because he was so empty of ego attachment that he was invisible to the gods. They would go looking for him and they would pass through him or enter into him, but they couldn't see him. And they were very curious about this person who had become so empty. So they played a little trick on him. One day when Dongshan went out for a walk, they went into the kitchen, the monastery kitchen, and took some handfuls of food. And they took them out and they threw them on the path. And when Dongshan came back, he saw this food just strewn across the path. You shouldn't treat food like that. It's disrespectful. It is alive. It is not good practice in a Zen monastery. And when Dongshan saw this food strewn across the path, he got upset. He was a little offended. He couldn't believe that one of his disciples, would have been so careless. And for a moment, the gods could see him. He wasn't empty anymore. Something had crystallized around his reaction. A cloud appeared in the emptiness of his being, and the gods could see him. And then it dissipated, and they couldn't see him anymore. His reaction disappeared. He knew how to return from his reaction. I like that story. A Zen story. Just a person who's purified his mind and still has reactions. So we're right in the middle of Sesshin. Allow yourself to be fully in Sesshin. Can't see the beginning, can't see the end. We should know how fortunate we are and use this time well.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about ZMM's programs, retreats, and residency, please visit us online at zmm.org.